Good afternoon. It's Friday and time just after 4 p.m. Time for another Community Elements show. We're starting off with Brian's good news. Well, good afternoon and welcome to yet another Brian's good news. And today we're actually doing it from the CLC bookshop, or at the rear of the bookshop. And with me, of course, is Brian Cran. If you hear any noises about it, it's probably just noises from the bookshop here. Brian, I believe we have about 9 stories from the Evening Express today.
We do indeed, yes.
Good. Right, would you like to enlighten us?
Indeed. A football coach has credited Aberdeen Football Club Community Trust, that's AFCCT, with turning his life around after living with physical and mental health problems. Chris Faulkner believes that his work with the group changed the course of his life after experiencing depression and seizures. Having been put through coaching qualifications with AFCCT, Chris attributes his current success to opportunities offered to him by the trust. Chris, 38, from Huntley, said, "It got me out of the house, and playing sports really helped me in my non-epileptic seizures." After participating in sessions with the trust, Chris began coaching participants of all ages. Disability football is just one of the programs run by the AFCCT to address social inclusion issues within the sport. Soon to be married, Chris added, "It is without doubt something that we should encourage. I once coached a 70-year-old gentleman who had Alzheimer's, and after regular sessions, the partner noted that his mood had greatly improved thanks to their exercise." AFCCT Community Operations Manager Stephen Sweeney said, "Chris went from someone who lacked confidence to becoming a positive and enthusiastic person who never takes the little things for granted. He went from requiring support to being able to offer support. He is very much a role model." He added, "Chris has been the catalyst for more participants to join and train as coaches." Students are inviting residents and businesses to a Green Tie charity ball in aid of Barnardo's. The events management students from Northeast Scotland College are hoping to add to the £460 they have already raised. The event will include a 3-course meal, a raffle, and live entertainment, and will be held on May 13th at the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel at the Beach Boulevard. Rebecca from Ellen said, "This is a great opportunity for people to show their support for a worthy cause." An older people's group has been honoured with a top title at a national awards event. Grampian 50 Plus Network, an organisation that supports walking groups in the Northeast, has been named Member Group of the Year at the Age Scotland 2017 Awards. Age Scotland Chief Executive Keith Robson said the award was given to the group in recognition of its efforts to support older people in the area by tackling loneliness and isolation. He said, "Grampian 50 Plus Network has done amazing work by supporting isolated older people and helping them to feel a part of their community. What's even more amazing is this wonderful group is run by a team of dedicated volunteers who put in a huge amount of effort. With more than 1,500 members, the network has a huge impact on so many lives and is doing fantastic work to keep more older people active and helping them to love later life." An exercise program for cancer patients has been recognised for its work in encouraging physical activity as part of the recovery process. Move More Aberdeen is funded by Macmillan Cancer Support and run by Sport Aberdeen. The group won the Aberdeen Council of Voluntary Organisations Award for Connecting and Collaborating in recognition of the impact it has made on cancer services in the city. The programme's organisers have worked with the NHS Grampian, Clan Cancer Support and others. Gordon Lees, a cancer patient who took part, in the project said, the carefully chosen, gentle, seated exercises at the radiotherapy department started during my last 2 weeks of treatment. He said the stiffness in his body quickly began to disappear, and his coordination and strength and range of movement increased. Joe Bell, Director for Sport and Active Lifestyles at Sport Aberdeen, said she was delighted about the award. A mass 60th birthday celebration is to be held this summer for former classmates at a city school. Linda Reed, who now lives 4,000 miles away in Oklahoma, USA, came up with the idea to mark the milestone for ex-pupils of the old Bankhead Academy. She said, we are trying to contact all former Bankhead Academy pupils who have become or will be turning 60 years old this year. Linda has been searching far and wide to try and reunite as many former classmates as possible, a tough task, as many are now living overseas. She said, there are three of us who live in the USA, one in Canada, one in South Africa, two in the Cayman Islands, and one in Australia. We have many living locally in Aberdeen, and many more throughout the UK. Pupils from Bucksburn, Cloverfield, Stonywood, Dice, and Newmarket primary schools all fed into Bankhead Academy then, so as Dice Academy had not yet been built. However, the school, Linda and her classmates remember, was gutted by fire almost 5 years ago. The Bucksburn Secondary School had to be demolished after suffering serious damage in the blaze. The reunion is set to take place on Saturday, June 10th from 7 p.m. at the Craig Hare Hotel, Waterton Road, Bankhead, Aberdeen. Those from 1975 looking to attend the reunion can email Mrs. Linda Reed at hotmail.com. A Northeast cancer survivor who was diagnosed during her pregnancy is to take to the catwalk in memory of her son, who died just months after his birth. Michelle Stephen was over the moon when she was told in 1996 that she was having a baby at the age of 26. However, 30 weeks into her pregnancy, she was given the devastating news she had developed cervical cancer. Michelle fought with medical staff to allow her to go to 35 weeks before little Jamie was born. The mum then had to undergo grueling treatment to get through her cancer, but she was looking forward to life as a family. However, in a devastating blow, her baby was diagnosed with meningitis and died just 5 months old. Now the 47-year-old will take to the stage during Courage on the Catwalk to raise awareness of cancer, and said she believed her baby boy was sent to save her. Michelle of Aberdeen is taking part in the event along with 23 other women who have also been diagnosed with cancer. It's amazing, said Mrs. Stephen, who is also mother to Chloe, 14, and James, 19. I was a bit nervous, but I'm loving every minute. Michelle, a nursery manager, is looking forward to surprising her family and friends at the event at the Beach Ballroom on May 6th and 7th. A restaurant has served free afternoon tea to elderly people suffering from isolation and loneliness. Bistro Vardy on the Green in Aberdeen City Centre invited the party of pensioners along to the restaurant. The event was organised in conjunction with the charity Contact the Elderly, which helps isolated elderly people stay active and to socialise. Lisa Kelby, owner of Bistro Vardy, ran a competition on Facebook asking people to nominate a group to come along for a free meal, and Contact the Elderly came out on top. Lisa said, I felt OAPs are a bit of a forgotten group. They had a really nice time. Normally, what they do is just go to somebody's house. They all left nice and full, and they seemed really happy. Lisa said the tea party went so well, she was already considering holding similar follow-up events in the future. A woman is embarking on a grueling 81-day challenge to raise awareness of a cause close to her heart. For the past 20 years, Kerry Smith has undertaken a number of challenges to fundraise for Alzheimer's Scotland. The 47-year-old has been inspired by her nan, Katie Posgate, known to many as Nanny P, who passed away after suffering from Alzheimer's in 1997. Starting on May 11th, the gym owner and personal trainer will either walk, cycle or run 20 kilometres for 81 days in a row. Kerry said, the distance signifies 20 years since Nanny P died, and the 81 days marks her age when she passed. I'll be starting in May and looking to finish on July 30th. Hopefully it will be a big finish on what would have been the week of Nan's birthday. I think Nanny P would be proud, but she'd also think I'm crazy. Kerry from Torre will clock up the miles in Spain, England, Edinburgh, Dundee and Glasgow, where her nan lived for some of her life. Kerry will be publishing her location and route in the hope people will want to join her, even for just a kilometre or two. It'll be a great chance to raise money for Alzheimer's Scotland. My aim is to raise as much money as I can. The work the community groups, local centres, homes and carers do is very special for the individuals and families that need it. To support Kerry on her 81-day challenge, you can visit her Just Giving page at justgiving.com/fundraising/KerrySmith20kEveryDay. A woman whose dog fell 65 feet down a cliff top has thanked the RNLI for rescuing him. Claire McGregor was walking her 18-month-old pet Bailey when he tumbled down the cliff near Donota Castle. After she raised the alarm, a crew from Stonehaven RNLI inshore lifeboat saved his life. Claire, 35, from Cove, said, "The police and the RNLI were brilliant with myself and Bailey. I was quite upset and thought that was him. I know people might think it is only a dog, but he is part of my life and it would have been really hard if he didn't make it. The fact that he survived after falling 20 metres is amazing." After being rescued, the beagle was taken ashore by boat and reunited with Claire at Stonehaven. Claire added, "Bailey looked in a bit of shock, so I decided to take him to the on-call vet, where he was given antibiotics and painkillers." The office manager from Cove was walking her dog just south of the historic castle. She said, "I was out walking with Bailey on the path for around an hour. We were heading back to the car when he started sniffing something. I heard him howling, so that was when I knew he had fallen. I couldn't see him though." Claire phoned the police on 101. After they arrived, the Coast Guard was dispatched at around 7 p.m. Claire added, "He was stranded for around an hour and a half. The guys at the RNLI were brilliant. They were so caring, and the fact that they do it as volunteers is great. To be honest, I can't thank them enough." A spokesman for RNLI said, "The RNLI is delighted that Bailey the Beagle has escaped from his ordeal, none the worse for wear." Can I?
Of course you can.
Add a scripture text. It's from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Amen.
Amen indeed. Thank you very much, Brian, for that. And it also reminds me of the verse before that. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future." All of them are great.
Excellent. Yes, indeed. Yes. I agree there.
And we'll ask you to come back to that one again at the end. But first, let's just think about some of the news stories that we've had. Firstly, the RNLI. It just goes to show that the volunteers here with INLI have a real passion for the work that they do, and they will go above and beyond. And that goes to show also for the lady whose baby died and who had had cancer, and also for the first news story at the start, the man who needed help and was then able to give help as well. I think it's brilliant.
Indeed, I agree there, because it's people doing things for others unselfishly that always amazes me, you know. But it's what we ought to do. How many do?
Yeah.
So I'm always delighted when I come across a story like that, and I think I include everyone.
Yes, and then there's the other story about the lady doing this marathon, 20 kilometre a day for 81 days, 1,620 miles, I believe.
It is, yes, indeed. That is takes a lot of courage, endurance, and she is doing it for others. Again, there's this unselfish attitude, which is brilliant, I think.
Mm-hmm. Any other news stories?
I like the Bistro Verde. That lady, she was doing it in the interests of the older people, help them to feel wanted and accepted. I think that was tremendous. And it's not only that she has done it, she is now encouraged to try again. Wow. Brilliant.
It's great when local businesses do that. That's just about it for us, but if you can finish off by reading out the scripture again, please.
Oh, very good. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Thank you very much, Brian. That's excellent. And we'll be back at the same time next week. And looking forward to that then. Brian's good news. Thank you.
Thank you indeed.
This is the Community Elements Show. And as part of the work that we do in this show is to pick up on various facets of what particularly believers, but also other organisations do in the community. How are people being helped? And how can people indeed help themselves? So in this next part of the show, we're going to be looking back at least this last quarter and finding out about two different things. Crossreach, with an interview with Hugh Brown. Now, I got to hear about Crossreach, first of all, at a Gospel Cafe programme that I broadcast not long ago from the St. Columbus Church in the Bridge of Don, where they have a regular coffee morning once a month, and they have a specific speaker in. Now, the specific speaker was someone from the church, but they were talking specifically about Crossreach, which is the Church of Scotland, a special organisation within the Church of Scotland, who reach out to about 70 different places around Scotland, helping people, helping families. So I thought we'd replay that interview. The other section, community element, that I thought would also look back over is food banks. And it's a sad fact that so many people now are needing food banks more and more. So we're going to take a little look at food banks. And the last thing we're going to do in this community elements show for about 6 or 7 minutes is to have a little look at some of the what's-ons which are ongoing at the moment for the next week or so.
My name is Omar from Anywater.
A very good afternoon to you, and can I welcome indeed Hugh Brown. And Hugh is the business development officer for Crossreach. Good afternoon, Hugh, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Rob. Nice to speak to you.
Right, I'm just trying to make sure that we get you sorted and make sure the volumes are correct. Is that okay for you?
That is absolutely fine. I can hear you fine. Are you hearing me all right?
Yeah, I'll just make sure that we turn you up a little bit so that you can hear us. Right, excellent. Right, now, Crossreach is really the Church of Scotland, and it's the Social Care Council, and it's actually built on the tradition of providing care and support dating back to 1869. That's quite some time there.
It is. We have a very proud history. In fact, because it's 1869, you'll have worked out that 2019 will be the 150th anniversary of the Church of Scotland officially providing care for people. Of course, the Church provided care long before that, but officially it started in 1869 as the Committee on Christian Life and Work, which has nothing to do with the magazine, by the way. That just happened to be the name that it was given then. And it's gone through various different guises and names since then, including the Church of Scotland Board of Social Responsibility. But in June 2005, we changed to become Crossreach, and within the Church of Scotland, we're known as the Social Care Council.
Okay, well, that brings us up to date with that. How long have you been actually with the Crossreach yourself?
Well, unbelievably, I have worked for the organisation for 25 years, man and boy. I'd like to say I started when I was 12, but I was slightly older than that. But I've gone through a number of changes myself in my job description, starting as public relations officer and then communications and marketing officer. And for the past couple of years, it's been business development officer. But you know, one thing has never changed in those 25 years, and that is the fact that Crossreach tries to provide and does provide care and support to people, to some of Scotland's most vulnerable people, in Christ's name. And I suppose that's our unique selling point, which makes us slightly different from other care providers. I have to say, it doesn't make us necessarily any better. There are many very, very good care providers in Scotland, in the voluntary, charity and in local authority settings, but it does give us a slightly different perspective on what we do and why we do it.
Most definitely, I'm sure. So there have been a huge number of changes. I mean, you've got a huge number of different outreaches. How many outreaches were there at the start when it first started off?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Do you know, I don't know the answer to that. Certainly not as many as we have now, because we have between 70 and 80 care and support services across Scotland, and they stretch from Shetland down to Ayr. In your area, we have Balmeddy House just north of Aberdeen, which is a residential home for older people, and we also have the Bungalow in Stonehaven, which looks after five young adults who have severe learning disabilities, and they stay there at the Bungalow. So again, it's a residential setting. But in fact, Crossreach employs almost 2,000 staff all the way across the country. So we're a very big employer in terms of the social care sector, one of the largest social care providers in Scotland, and bigger certainly than most of the other charity social care providers like Bernardo's or Oxfam or anyone like that. So we have a lot of services, and we employ a lot of people to provide those services.
Where does all the money come from to do that? Are you a charity? I mean, where does it come from? I know there's a lot of faith based into that, but
that's a very good question. Actually, unbelievably, our expenditure each year to provide those services is almost £50 million. Now, we are part of the Church of Scotland. We're one of the councils of the Church of Scotland, the Social Care Council, and we report to the General Assembly in May every year. So you might think that the majority, if not all of the money, all of that £50 million came from the Church of Scotland. But actually, you would be very wrong, because we actually only receive about £1 million directly from the central funds of the Church of Scotland. So you're saying to yourself, well, where does the rest of the other £49 million come from? Well, the answer is many of the local authorities subcontract us to provide the care and support services that we provide for those that we look after. Also, we obviously do fundraising. We rely on grants and legacies. And in some cases, service users or people who use our services pay for their own care. For instance, in care of older people, if someone has over £26,250 in savings or assets, then they will pay the full cost of their care. When they have less than that, then it's a sliding scale and the local authority pays for an amount of their care. But because we are a charity, we're not trying to make a profit. Obviously, it's nice if we can make the books balance, but sometimes even that isn't always possible. But we are part of the Church of Scotland and are therefore directly accountable to the General Assembly every year, and we report to the General Assembly, and they can effectively tell us what we should and shouldn't be doing in terms of care services.
Yes, well, that's interesting to know that. Now, I think there's one question that I would like to know, and I think other people would like to know. By way of demonstrating the gospel, is it just a demonstration of the gospel, or do you add the gospel in some of the work that you do? How do you demonstrate the gospel?
I think that's a really good question. And the answer is, it seems like a strange answer, but we're not allowed to, if you like, openly demonstrate the gospel, to use your phrase. We're not allowed to proselytize, I suppose, is the big word.
Indeed,
for it.
Yes.
Yes. But what we can do, because the vast majority of our staff are Christians, and have to have a genuine occupational requirement, as it's called, or GOR, to actually work for us, then, again, as I was talking about our unique selling point, we do all this work in Christ's name. We're not allowed shove the gospel down people's throats. But what we do is that each of our services has a time of worship, certainly in our residential services, a short time of worship in the morning. And if the service users so choose, they can come along to that. But nobody twists their arms up the back of their, you know, up their back to do that. I think what comes across, hopefully, is that by the way our staff show their care and their love for the people that they're looking after, that brings out the fact that they are Christians and that they're living out the gospel through not only their work but their lives as well. And I think that is hugely important. As I said, that actually makes us different from other care providers. My wife, for instance, works for Barnardo's. She's worked for Barnardo's even longer than I've worked for Crossreach. And they changed their employment policy quite some years ago, and they now are no longer a Christian employer and a Christian social care agency. And you know, she says that's made a huge difference. Not necessarily the care work, but I think it changes their ethos and values, I think. And I hope that because we are providing our work in Christ's name, that means that the people who use our services see that through the care they're receiving from our staff.
Indeed, I'm sure that they will. And has that actually been reported, that they have responded in that way?
Well, I don't suppose we've done any surveys about that, to be honest, Rob, but I know that many people's lives have been altered positively, and I don't necessarily even mean that they, you know, that people have become Christians, but they've certainly had. Our mission statement, if you like, is in Christ's name we seek to retain and regain the highest quality of life that each individual is capable of achieving at any given moment. So it's quite a long mission statement, but the important part is that what our staff are trying to do is improve people's quality of life.
Yes.
And that will change. It will be different for each and every individual that comes to us. And remember, Crossreach works right the way across the whole social care spectrum, in adult care, in children and family services, and in services to older people. So we work with people who are homeless, we work with people with learning disabilities, who have mental health problems, who have a drug or alcohol problem, who come to us for counselling, and of course who have dementia, and people, older people, who come into our homes. So we span the whole of the social care spectrum, which I don't think any other organisation in Scotland, I'm almost certain, doesn't do in the way that Crossreach does.
I'm sure it doesn't. Now, since you've been at Crossreach, what has been for you the most exciting development?
Oh, gosh, you're asking some good questions and some tough ones as well.
we aim to challenge.
I think there have been so many. I can think back over very, very many. One of the ones I remember, because it was actually my idea, my baby, if you like, was a couple of years ago when the Commonwealth Games obviously were in Glasgow. I decided that Crossreach should have a Crossreach baton as well. And we had one made for us specially by a church in Edinburgh who have it's a company, not quite a company, but they employ people who've been homeless, and they get them to make things out of wood. And quite often the wood comes from churches who are replacing their pews with chairs, so they'll make things from them. And what we did was they made from Greyfriars community, they made us a baton with the Crossreach logo on it. And lovely, lovely, heavy wood made out of a former pew. And we then passed that baton round all of our services from Shetland to Ayr and across to Edinburgh. And one of my tasks, which was a huge task, was to try and do the logistics of that and get it between all of those locations, all 75 of the locations, including Skye and Lewis and, as I said, Shetland. So it travelled 3,500 miles in just over a month. And we got local publicity for that wherever it went. And when we came to do our Crossreach Awards ceremony, which is where we recognise staff who've gained different qualifications, we hold that in the Assembly Hall in Edinburgh, where the General Assembly is held, and we hold that the week after the Assembly. And we actually Skyped from the Assembly Hall up to Shetland, to our home in Shetland, the Walter and Joan Gray home, and the baton was there. And it was really exciting. And what was really amazing was that half an hour before we were due to connect to Shetland, the whole Skype system went down. And we really thought, we're not going to be able to do this. But then, miraculously, with just a few minutes to go, it all happened again. And in fact, it was a power outage in Shetland, would you believe? And the power came back on just a few minutes before we were due to Skype. We managed to Skype live between Shetland and the 200 or so staff that were in the Assembly Hall. And it was absolutely amazing. And that's where the Crossreach baton was. So for me, that was exciting because it had been my idea and my, as I say, my baby. So to see it go around the country and travelling all those miles was really quite amazing.
Yeah, it must have been good. Now, there's another question popped into my mind, if you don't mind. What's been the role of prayer in actually uplifting the work of Crossreach?
You know, prayer is so important. I mean, it's so important for Christians everywhere, but it's particularly important for Crossreach. I produce, actually, as part of my job, a four-monthly prayer diary for Crossreach. And there is a week of prayers for each of our services, and they write their own prayers. I then turn them, turn the format into be looking the same each week. But they write their own prayers about their service, and that gets sent out. We produce 9,500 copies of that. That's sent out to churches and to prayer groups across Scotland. Also available, obviously, on the Crossreach website for people to download. And we've got a prayer widget, which churches can put onto their websites as well, which shows those prayers each and every week. And once you've loaded it onto your website, you just leave it there and it changes automatically. It's very clever, the technology. So prayer is hugely important. Crossreach's work could not go on if we did not have people praying for both our staff and for the people that use our services.
Agreed. Okay, so how if people actually needed help from Crossreach, say someone wasn't in a home, say someone was elderly or someone wanted to access help for someone who is elderly or of special needs, how would they go about that?
A lot of the referrals are self-referrals. People will, depending on what the service area is, if it's for instance substance misuse or mental health, they'll come perhaps to one of our drop-in services. If it's mental health or if it's substance misuse, then they'll be referred to one of our services. I think the first port of call is probably our website, which of course is crossreach.org.uk. But also, I think a lot of our referrals come through GPs, because particularly for older people. So again, I think the best way to do that is to check out what service is closest to you And we have a map on our website with all our services marked out and clearly where they're located. So I think it's check where your nearest one is, and then phone the relevant service. The numbers are on our website to get any information about whether there are places available and what you have to do next. I suppose there isn't a one-stop shop answer to that question, because it does depend on what you're actually looking for. For instance, if you're looking for counselling, and we offer counselling in Glasgow, in Edinburgh, in Murray, in Inverness, in Dunbar, then you need to phone that service, because they quite often have a waiting list for their counselling services. But the other thing that Crossreach does is it trains people as well, because we are an accredited provider of counselling training, and that means you can come to our services and receive training, which you do pay for, to be fair, and then you receive your qualification and you in turn can become a counsellor. So we're more than just a social care provider, we're also a trainer as well. So I think that side of it's important too.
Most certainly. Now, you've actually got a leaflet. I've got a leaflet about Crossreach in front of me. Is that like available in public libraries or doctor's surgeries, or where is that leaflet available for people to pick up?
I'm assuming you've got the guide to Crossreach in front of you.
Well, it's quite a kind of A5 really, which is folded into A4.
Yep. The answer is no, it's not. It's not available in doctor. We did try that for a while, but we weren't getting very much response to that, to be honest. I think if anyone wants to know more or anything, they can again head to the website, but they can also quite happily drop me an email, which would be hugh.brown@crossreach.org.uk. That's hugh.brown@crossreach.org.uk, and I will help them if I possibly can. I'll send them out some literature and things. So I think in terms of budgetary constraints, it just wouldn't be possible to put them absolutely everywhere, but we do our best. We actually have a taxi running around in Edinburgh just now for a year, with which I did the branding for, and it's got all of the Crossreach logo and pictures and stuff like that, and website, etc. on it. So it's quite exciting, because from time to time when I'm heading home, I'll see the Crossreach taxi in Edinburgh. So it's a good way of advertising.
Definitely. So that's really good. Now, if people want to actually help, I take it it's the same way that people can actually help through the website and getting the information from the taxi and getting in contact with yourself.
Yes, I think that's right. The website is the first port of call. And we depend a lot in Crossreach in many of our services on volunteers, and we have a volunteer coordinator based here in our office in Edinburgh, who's responsible for bringing together all the... We have over 5,000 volunteers, would you believe, who help us with our work. And obviously you need to have all the usual checks done and everything like that, the PVG checks, but we're very much dependent on volunteers in many of our services. And so, yes, Lindsay Gray is the lady who's our volunteer coordinator, and she'd be delighted to hear from anyone who wanted to offer assistance to perhaps one of their local services. And if that is appropriate and if that's needed, then I'm sure she'd put you in touch with whatever the local unit was.
Excellent. One final question. Needs change and grow. How do you see Crossreach developing in future years?
Do you know, I've got the experience of 25 years working for the organisation. I have seen it change. And in some senses, you know, some of social care is probably the most quick-changing organisation or type of organisation in the whole of Scotland. It never stands still. Things are forever changing. Even the terminology changes. I talk about service users, used to be residents. We're now supposed to call them people who use our service. When I started, the care homes for older people were called eventide homes, but they're now called residential homes. Everything changes in social care. There's a new set of jargon all the time. And I think Crossreach in my 25 years has changed hugely. And one of the things which I think Crossreach is very proud of is the fact that we are very much a pioneering organisation. For instance, in 1983, Crossreach was the very first organisation in Scotland to open a specific dementia care home, and that was at William Wood in Glasgow, and that's still going strong all these years later. So we like to think we pioneer social care. Of course, the problem when you pioneer things is that people then jump on the bandwagon and copy you, which is absolutely fine. But I think that we need to make sure that we are right up to date, where, you know, we're almost ahead of the game, mm-hmm. and that we know what the next development in social care is. One of the big changes in the past few years is that... One of the big changes that we've had is that a lot of our services now need to be tendered by the local authorities because of funding and restrictions in funding. They want to get value for money from the providers. And so we're having to now tender, sometimes for work that we're already doing, and that can be quite difficult because we don't always win services or we don't always win the new business either. But that's not just true for us. That's true for every provider. That's the way of the world, unfortunately, and that's the way that we're going. In the old days, the local authorities would actually ask us to start a service, but now, because of the legal requirements, they can't actually do that. We have to tender for it. So that's one big change. So yes, I think I see Crossreach developing and changing all the time. One big change for us in the next couple of months is after the General Assembly, Mayor, Chief Executive Peter Bailey, who's worked for the organisation just about as long as I have, almost 25, he will be 25 years as well actually, and he was my very first boss actually when I started. He retires and we have a new Chief Executive Officer starting on the 1st of June, Viv Dickinson, who's also worked for us for over 20 years, so she's got that experience of the organisation as well. So that's going to be a change for us because she'll have new ideas, a new vision, where she wants, what direction she wants Crossreach to go in. So it's really exciting times ahead for Crossreach. And I think the wonderful thing is that we do this as part of the Church of Scotland. We come under the Church's charity number and part of the Church's accounts. And therefore, it's important that a Christian organisation like the Church of Scotland is providing social care services. I really believe that. And I also think that in many cases, if we weren't providing these services, I don't think anyone else would. I think they just simply wouldn't exist. So where would the people who need that kind of help go to? I really don't know. So I think we provide a hugely valuable and hugely important service for people in need in Scotland on behalf of the Church of Scotland. And as I said, all done in Christ's name.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that, Hugh Brown. Could you just finally remind people of the contact details once again, and then...
I certainly could. Our website is www.crossreach.org.uk, and if you want to email, then you certainly are more than welcome to email me. It's hugh.brown@crossreach.org.uk, and I'll try and answer any questions or point you in the right direction if you want more information.
Can I thank you very much, Hugh Brown? Can we have you perhaps back on the show again another time and update us with what's going on, perhaps another 6 months, say?
I would be delighted. All the best. Nice to talk to you, Rob.
And bye-bye. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hugh Brown, who's the Business Development Officer from Crossreach, and he will be actually hopefully coming on again another time. It's our pleasure's all ours, Brian. This is Gospel for Grampian, and it's the Community Elements Show. My name is Rob Rowe, and Community Elements is we're just splitting up different facets of what people are doing in the community, particularly believers in the community, to engage, equip, and enable communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. And it's a sad fact that many people do need to have and rely on food banks, and the food banks, just going to pick out some food banks run by different organisations. And the first of these is those run by the Trussell Trust. And in their website, trusseltrust.org, it says all kinds of people volunteer at food banks for different reasons, but everyone involved has the shared aim of providing caring support for those in the local community. So if you're finding yourself in need, then you'll first be asked for your food bank voucher. Now, food bank vouchers are given out according to various needs. And let's just see how all this works. There are three food banks, for example, in Aberdeen and the surrounding area, Bankery and Inverurie. There's Aberdeen South Food Bank at TOC, Citrus House, Green Bank Road, AB12 3BQ. Let's take an example of what actually may happen at a food bank. The food banks work with the referral agencies to issue food vouchers to those in need in emergency food in times of crisis. The referral system ensures that folks are provided with appropriate help and support for their situation. Each food bank works with frontline professionals such as doctors, health visitors, social workers and Citizens Advice Bureau who make referrals to the food bank using a voucher. And the food bank and referral agency use the voucher to gather basic information to help them to identify the cause of their crisis, offer practical guidance and prepare suitable emergency food. Once you have been issued with a voucher, you can exchange for a minimum of 3 days emergency food at your nearest food bank centre. So, what's in a food parcel? Food banks provide a minimum of 3 days nutritionally balanced, non-perishable tinned and dried foods that have been donated by the local community. So it would certainly contain balanced meals for individuals and families of cereal, soup, pasta, rice, pasta sauce, beans, tinned meat, tinned vegetables, tea, coffee, tinned fruit, biscuits. And many food banks also provide essential non-food items such as toiletries, hygiene products, helping people to maintain dignity and feel human again. If you're organising a collection for your local food bank, do please check with them which items they currently need. That you may even see some of these folks from different food banks in local supermarkets who give out lists of things they'd like shoppers to just buy. Need only be one or two items, but just even one or two will make a huge difference to someone. Now, from that, then if you're needing to visit a food bank, while your food parcel is being prepared, you'll be offered a warm drink and a biscuit, and a volunteer will have an informal chat about your situation and a signpost to further support. Your food can then be put into supermarket carrier bags, or indeed your own if you have them. And actually, I think being a food bank volunteer can be quite satisfying, really. And to a certain extent, it actually reminds me of something I used to do back a while ago with Aberdeen City Mission, and we used to sometimes give out food, but we also prepared a meal for folks and then sat down with them, and that was always something I particularly enjoyed doing, and I think a lot of people. So, whereabouts the food banks? The Aberdeen South Food Bank is at TOC, Citrus House, Green Bank Road, AB12 3BQ. Aberdeenshire South Food Bank is in Bankery, that's West Parish Church of Scotland, High Street, Bankery, Aberdeenshire, AB31 5TB. Actually, it's in more than one location. There is a bit more information here. The opening times for that particular food bank are Mondays 1300 to 1500, Wednesdays 1300 to 1500, and Fridays 1300 to 1500. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. It's closed, unfortunately. So, what about the Aberdeenshire North Food Bank? Well, that's at St James's Place in Verurie, Aberdeenshire, AB513UB. And it says three further other locations. There's also Ellen and there's Huntley. The main location is at 4 St James's Place in Verurie, Aberdeenshire, AB513UB. You can contact them on 07967 364 600. The Aberdeenshire, the Inverurie Food Bank Centre, is Mondays 10 a.m. to 12, Wednesdays 10 a.m. to 12, Thursdays 1300 to 1530. That's on Fridays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays and Sundays is closed. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There's also the Ellen Food Bank Centre. It's 4-view room, Ellen Kirk Centre, 4 Station Road in Ellen, AB419AE. And the times of those are open 10 a.m. to 12 and Fridays 10 a.m. to 12. Now there's also Huntley at 55 Gordon Street in Huntley, AB54 8FG. Tuesdays 10 a.m. to 12 and Fridays 1300 to 1500. So that's the Aberdeenshire North Food Banks, I think I should say. I don't think I gave the opening times for Aberdeen South Food Bank. So we'll go and do that one just now, if this is going to work for me, and we'll also give you the phone number for that. The phone number is 07542 049 898. That's 07542 049 898. That is the only information that is available. Okay, now from the Trussell Trust Food Banks, we now go on to Instant Neighbour Food Bank. We did actually discuss this just around the Christmas time, but at any time people may well need food banks. And if you were listening a little bit earlier, you will have heard Brian mentioning that Baxter's of Fokkerbers had given a certain number of tins of soup to Instant Neighbour. Now, they run a food bank, certainly, and people would come to them if they have late benefit payments, they're waiting for the first payment and a new benefit claims, or whether benefits were stopped due to sanctions, or waiting for first wage from new employment, and increased heating costs for the winter months. In fact, 2016, up until October, they'd given out 3,501 food parcels. You can actually help them. You can follow them on Twitter as @InstNeighbour. Facebook is Instant Neighbour. And they also have an Instant Neighbour blog and an Instant Neighbour YouTube channel you can contribute. As well as Instant Neighbour, they have various services for carpentry, joinery, and removals. So they can help out with that. They also run something called Safe and Sound. Now, these are really for children who live in low-income families who are known to suffer more ill health and home accidents than other children, and who suffer from social exclusion in later life. Instant Neighbour aims to enhance the lives of these children and their families by providing access to low-cost, high-quality, safety-tested baby care and childcare equipment. They provide clothing, new toys, nappies, baby food, raising parents' self-esteem, where they can provide a comfortable environment for their children, and encouraging healthy eating, stopping smoking, and promoting good living habits and a healthy environment to improve families' general health. They do rely on good quality used baby care and childcare equipment, as well as donations of nappies and food from members of the public. You can contribute to that as well. They run a certain number of shops, these shops are at Instant Neighbour at St Macca Drive and the new store at 1 to 3 Great Western Road, where they offer a selection of nearly new furniture, electricals, household items, child and baby care equipment, clothing and other items to customers looking for high quality items at affordable prices. They are also proud to run Carpet Inc., the only carpet reuse social enterprise, and joinery services using their very own skilled in-house joiner. Delivery of furniture and electricals can be delivered from all locations subject to a delivery charge. So there's a huge range of things, and during the Christmas they were able to offer another service, the Giving Tree. If you're looking to work with Instant Neighbour, if you're enthusiastic, reliable, looking for an opportunity to build your confidence or learn a new skill, or maybe you just have free time, you can help out with office administration, van drivers, shop assistants, warehouse stock assistants, trained electrician, gas fitters, trained portable appliance testers, and retail assistants. Lots of people get a great deal of joy from doing that, so you can do that. One of the other organisations that has been on the scene until recently has been Somebody Cares. Now, I had a little look at their website and I'm not seeing too much information there at all. Maybe that's just a server error, so we'll find out what's going on with that and how things are coming on with that. Because I believe they've also moved property, and I think they may have moved to another website too. So we'll find out about Somebody Cares before too long. Now, lastly, on the Community Elements show for this week, let's have a little look at christiandiary.com, northeast of Scotland, Christian Diary, find out what's going on this week. Well, the Shed Youth Cafe is open tonight, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Sheddixley Baptist Church, and that's at Ede Walk in Aberdeen, AB156LN. And the Youth Cafe is actually manned by trained youth workers, and they do a great job providing indeed for the needs of youth, providing even photo booths and a wee and a nail bar and lots of food fun. And it's in just in a way that the youth can make up friendships and get on really well together. So that's happening every Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Sheddixley Baptist Church. Now, happening in the next day or so is also Folk at the Harp Cults Parish Church Outreach Centre tonight, and it's a simple informal gathering of folk who like traditional folk music, and they're always on the lookout for new players, and at all levels. I think I'd be a very elementary level myself if I ever tried that. Anyway, they meet at Coltskirk Centre, 404 North Deeside Road, from 7:30 p.m. onwards. If you want to find out more, contact Jan Johnson on 07502 126911 for more information. And the list of things goes on, because Coldwithel Christian Centre is holding a Easter Fun Day tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and that's at Coldwithel Avenue, Inverness, IV26AS. There'll be treasure hunt, crafts, refreshments, and a whole lot more. Paprika ACF is open on the 18th of April, and it's the Mums and Tots group for Hungarian families meeting on Tuesday mornings during term time. For more information or indeed to help, contact Tabita Doxy. And you can do so via the event website. Aberdeen Christian Fellowship is at AB10 6SR on Union Grove. Also on the 18th, Eco Congregations Scotland is having a meeting. It's a network meeting for Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire, and it's at Manorfield Church starting at 7 p.m. Now, I need to explain, Eco Congregations is a really good organisation, and it's really about getting churches to look at how they operate. Do they operate in an environmentally sensitive way? Do they, for instance, take care over their heating, making sure that the church is heated, but yet not pumping out so much heat or not wasting heat when it's not needed? Or do they have a garden? Or do they go out of their way to go into the communities and tell people about not only about the gospel, but about the work that's done? Do they work with other organisations? These are all things that Eco Congregations does, and I think they do a really good job. Now, anyway, this Eco Congregations Scotland meeting is happening on April 18th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Manorfield Parish Church. City Church is mainly music on the 19th, on Wednesday, and it's a 9:45 to 11 a.m. fun music session for families with babies and toddlers. All welcome to come along and try out a session before registering. Deeside Christian Fellowship on Thursday have a mainly music as well, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And it's for young children, carers to join together in a 30-minute music session, then afterwards enjoy your refreshments in a relaxed setting. I like the sound of that. Anyway, it's all part of the mini music. There's also on April the 20th, street football, which kind of gave rise to the Shed Youth Club as well. And this was established in partnership with Aberdeen YMCA over 5 years ago as a pioneering project for local young people. Street football runs every Thursday night during school term time, and it actually happens to be on the 20th. Well, it is in fact school term time again then. And the postcode is AB156LN. Anyway, that brings us up to the end of some of our what's-ons from ChristianDiary.com, and indeed now to the end of the Community Elements programme. We'll try and make sure that this programme is available for you as a podcast following 6 o'clock. This is Gospel for Grampian.